who is signing now, a major studio, which goes from now to the end of the period. It should last us further than a week. From here, really from last week and on, we have Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai in his private meeting. And the first, just the structure of the rest of the parak. First Mishnah that we're going to try to learn today is he lists his five Talmidim and he gives out marks. He gives out titles to each one of the five Talmidim. And then he tells them to find and send them on missions. And the first mission is to find what's the Derech HaTayif. Strange question to ask. What's the Derech HaTayif? Each person comes back with an answer. Have a problem here? Turn up your ears.
Sure. You might press upon it. Derech HaShaf. Maybe it's a weary also.
Okay, the Chamish Talmidim. The titles that Yechamizagi gives out to each one of them. Then he sends them out to find out Derech HaTayif. And each one come back with their answer. Then, if that wasn't sufficient, he says, okay, now find out what the Derech Hara is. And they come back, amazingly enough, with the same answer in the reverse. Which gives us, it doesn't go, you don't accept that. Because it's an old klal. They didn't have to go out, they just said, we just, you know, turn it around, add a negative, and you'll get it. Like if it was leib toiv, you can turn it into leib ra, and you got it. The worst of most of them, there are some that changed a little bit, I need to explain. But the big one shouts right out is that leib toiv, leib ra. He had to go out, think it over again, and came back. Another element of the Nekudi is that at the end of the Derech HaTayif, he paskened, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said that he chose one of the five and said that it includes all the other five. So he says, okay, it was all very nice, he won. So then, sitting out again, he makes a mistake. What happened to the other four? I told you that he lived up. So half this time he's supposed to say labor out. Now everybody says the Hanshita again, they continue each one according to the Mahalach. And he gives the same psak again. He gives the same psak again, he says that the same one he liked the first time. He liked labor out the first time, so he likes labor out the second time. Each one of these things are going to have to be dealt with. And then we have a series of mishnayos, with each one of the five get a chance to say what they have to say. And each one has three things to say. And then to finalize the parak, we have Rav Tarfon and Mishnah Yitzayin, which when we get there, we're going to have to see what's he doing at the end of this series. What exactly... What is he feeling? Well, that's the structure of the coming events. Okay. The obvious mahalach, which basically everybody goes with, is that there's a lishitosa going throughout here. That the description that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai gives in the Mishnah we're going to try to learn today, the Derech HaTayif, the Derech Hara, and the mamores that each one has is all the shitosa. So we're going to have to keep cheshbon throughout now until further notice. Of all of the five different shitas, five different mahalkim, and follow through the different story. Obviously, if it's just a repetition of the same thing, then we could have made the mishnayos a little shorter and cut down the shiur by half a year. And you wouldn't have to repeat all of these mishnayos. So obviously there's a separate point, there's a separate lesson in each form of the five. The second, the next point is that there's some structure that they all are working on from different aspects. And there's some unit of five where they're all elements of. In other words, Vaday, this is like we have in most places, especially in Agoda, but in here it's clearly that way, that it's irrevealed to whether it can kind of. It's not a machlokes. It's not a question that of a machlokes as we normally have it, but it's true even in our law, the one says irrevealed to whether it can kind of. This still explains that in Agoda, the way you understand, it could be in Allah also, but in Agoda for sure, the way you understand the Elevator of the Hilkim Kaim is five blind men were introduced to an elephant. And each one came back and he says, you know what an elephant is? An elephant is like a tree. This was not an elephant's like a tree. An elephant is like a thin wire. And that's why I said, no, you're both wrong. An elephant has this pointy thing that it's round and smooth and comes to a point. Moses says, no, this is a waggy thing, like a long nose. So, all right, so that each one is explaining a certain aspect. That if you put them all together, you get the whole picture. There's a question of emphasis, a question of from which point of view that he's emphasizing. But it's all part and parcel of a total picture. To complete the formula, the Mishnah that we learned last week, which was the Yerna Hazarek Mishnah, is in some way the Abba of all these, the Rav of all of these five. In the Yerna Hazarek Mishnah, he had one statement to make, and then all of these extensive statements that all come to meet him have to say are somehow a derivative, an explanation, an extension of Rav Yechon Ben Zakkai's one statement. Rav Yechon Ben Zakkai's statement is a shoyrish for all of what there. This is the mission that we have to attempt to deal with. And we'll see the best that we can. Let's see the mission. The first mishnah. There are different sedurim and mishnayos. Separate the mishnayos in different order. It's not terribly important. The holidays, it's one series. So it goes. We'll see the first stage. Unfortunately, explain that he had many more talmidim. He was within Brunswick. He was one of 80 talmidim. It was okay. What happened? He only had five. So each one in a different lashon. But the point is that these were the five talmidim that were full talmidim, meaning that they each one embodied an aspect of the total picture of Yechon Ben Zakkai. So that when you have the five talmidim of Yechon Ben Zakkai together, you get the Yechon Ben Zakkai picture. These are the talmidim that were the, if Yechon Ben Zakkai was the trunk, then the five talmidim were the main branches. There were many five branches that came out of the trunk. Beyond that, there says that there were many, many, maybe even hundreds, who knows, many other talmidim that were the tzarfos. But the main talmidim that joined together to be some type of unit, some type of a structure of five, were in their essence and in their Torah and in their understanding and in their, what they taught, what they lived, was an essence that were branches that came out of Yechon Ben Zakkai. Who's in the list? This is a very all-star list to have here. Yechon Ben Zakkai's talmidim are all people, and each one individually is it's difficult for us to think about. We know something about the first one on the list of Lezer and Hurkinis, it's a Lezer Avedo. Pigil of Lezer, how many are familiar with Pigil of Lezer? The Lezer Avedo is one of the, he's the Rebbe of Akiva, among others. Akiva learned from Yechon Ben Zakkai and from Lezer Avedo. That's probably why I have to take them in. He was first starting off. You don't know exactly, Bidiuk, at least I don't know, how much he learned from Yochum and Zaka, but you see that afterwards you learned from Lozer, which was in Talmud. But Chalifin, Lozer and Orkin is one of the Neurotis of Shas. I don't want to go off the subject too much, and certainly it doesn't need my history. This has been horrendous. The Neurotis, the Neurotis, he was put into Chayim. I was sure of Chayim in this. Because of the way that Machlokes in Torah was so Chayim, that there was a chash, they were afraid that there would become Chasashon split in place of the two Torahs. And that they felt that in order to establish the one path of Torah that was necessary, they took this extreme method. And they had to. Blessed Ben Horkins. Rabbi Yeshua Ben Hananya. Rabbi Yeshua, that's. When you have all three shots of Lazar, Rabbi Yeshua, these are the two. Lazar, Rabbi Yeshua Ben Hanina, Rabbi Yosef HaKoyin, Rabbi Shimon Ben Nasanu, and Rabbi Lazar Ben Aroch. These are the five Talmidim that we're going to be dealing with. We have some time to come. Who are your Moine Shlochan? It's a very strange language. Who are your Moine Shlochan? He counted out their Shvach. Moine usually count out money. Who are your Mesapir Shlochan? I understand. Who are your Magid Shlochan? There's a lot of languages. One of the last things that we would have pulled out of the language dictionary to describe a Rebbe giving Shvach Talmidim. Moine Shvach. What does that mean? When you counted their Shvach. Further, you have to understand the Chal, what is he doing? What is he doing? This is written in the Mishnah. He wanted to give them a pat on the back. I don't put that in the Mishnah. That's something that all applies to us, know if all of there is. The pat on the back of Yehuda Ben Zaka gave his Talmidim. Maybe that too. But obviously that's not what the Mishnah is. These are the material. The Mishnah is teaching us Yesodos here. On the simplest level, that's according to anybody, any inferiors that you pick up. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai was clarifying, was establishing understanding of what was the mahus of each one of his Talmidim. It wasn't like giving him marks. He was defining for us. You want to know what the lesson Hurkan is all about? I'll tell you what he's all about. I'm the Rebbe, and I can tell you. This is what he's all about. And so with each one of the Talmidim, he gave us an insight to take one of these giants, I mean, it wasn't what we can title a giant. If you have Zach, I can't do all. The giant of giants, he can take a resume and Ben Hurkanes and teach him up. Exactly. Put him in a couple of words. So you know who he is? This is who he is. There's Ben Hurkanes, one long. And so with all that he's talked to me. Moine, the idea of counting. Has two forms. The in whole, the way we use it in the world, so counting doesn't necessarily have any significance. I have a lot of pebbles, and they're bothering me. You know, I want to know how many pebbles are bothering me for some reason. And I decide to count them, so I should know how many pebbles are bothering me. I want to know how many blotches I'm missing. So start counting the blotches I stack up. How many blotches have? So I count them up. It's just a way of establishing a sakhakol. And the importance of mispor in that form of mina, number, is to totally disregard individuality. When you count things in that form, the way we used to kind of think about counting. So the point is only, the only interest you have is to get to the bottom line. And the bottom line is a package. I can't deal with one plus one plus one plus one. So I want to have a different word to use. So I'm counting, I go one, 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 one. Oh, I have another word now. Now I don't have to think five times. One, I can say five. Okay? And I got it. No, I have five. Okay? Now I don't have to deal with the individual. That's Soyser, the very essence of what the mission is doing here. The mission is going to give out. And Rabbi Zakeh was coming to tell us the individuality of each one of his Talmidim, to define them exactly. Did I hit you?
Oh, you got me.
I got you. I'm
sorry. I'm saying it. It's not.
No. It's dangerous. I'm sorry.
You're welcome. I'm sure.
We have to, you want to keep this here.
And then we'll follow the uses. It's double use.
That's the thing. We're not that far from the beginning of the Midbar now. The Misbar in Klal has that opposite meaning. Misbar, we only count things that, when we talk about Misbar in Klal, when we're talking about the opposite concept, we're talking about giving individual value of each thing that we're dealing with, plus seeing the relationship of the total of all the parts, meaning the relationship that we get to when I'm learning parts of a whole, 12 shvatim. So I had to say, there were 12, could be 7, it happened to be 12. When I'm bringing the 12, it means that I'm seeing each one individually and seeing how that individuality is mixed started to come up with the total. This is such suka. That Kleiser was counted the base of Rezum, the Bishmoisum, each one individually, Bishmoisum, their names. What do you get the names for? Each one gave him a dime. After the Ramban explains, each one came in front of Moshe at the Ar, and they had a little discussion before he handed in the Fatsifek. What's your name? Who's your father? How are things doing? What do you need? To my brother. And then he gave the Fatsifek. It was an individual relationship. Every individual was given his identity and brought into the picture of the total of all clients. That's the idea of Marina Shulchan. He was talking about Shulchan, so then it was five different stories. They have no relationship. One day he decided he has to, for some reason, speak about the Shvach of Lezer ben Hurkanes. So he'll talk about that. But he's Marina Shulchan, so this is already giving us the inkling of the idea that there's some total that we're dealing with the whole year that is not a total that disregards or limits the individuality, but rather this type of total is one that emphasizes individuality, and it contains within it both qualities, both the total emphasis on individuality and the total significance of the tzibur of all parts of a whole, that all those individualities add up to something that's even larger. So this is the idea of who are your Moina Shvochan. He took these five out of all of his Talmidim, and with the Shvochan that he particularly placed for each one of them, he showed us a billion, he showed us a whole story, a whole picture in two. Through his Talmidim. His Talmidim were real Talmidim Chachamim. Talmidim Chachamim are embodiments of Torah. These people were such big embodiments of Torah that each one contained within a main branch that can go throughout a whole Mahalach. Ader HaYosho, Ader HaYah, Maimorim, a whole Mahalach. That's not a side shita, but something that combines together the main trunk of Torah that Rehman Zakeh was giving over. Okay, what are the Shulchan? If Elizabeth and Horkin is, first we'll read all of them, and then we'll see what we can do today. Elizabeth and Horkin is, was a boar suit, a boar seat, that gives us an enema a bit deeper. Try that one. If your child's Rebbe would send you back, your kid is a kid. He's a pitch, I know, I'm a teep, I understand.
A poor
Sid, Shane, Mahabatipa.
Yeah, he's plastered up.
Yeah, plastered pitting, okay.
Otherwise doesn't count.
It keeps in all the water. Nice. Really nice. Okay. I think you go in, call up to everybody, what's the matter? Something wrong?
What do you do?
What's, I don't understand exactly. Obviously, what I'm talking about, if you want to be moving all of the shrach they had to say in Elizabeth Horkins, I'm sure there are many things that you can say. This statement somehow has to give us the exact picture of that individuality that's Elizabeth Horkins, that's what started to a total picture. The simple shot, which is MS, is that he's referring to his capability of retention of Torah, that whatever went in stayed in. Whatever went in stayed in. He didn't lose a tipa. But Rishayim explained that, so tell me a cup. There's a lot of things. Here we saw that a cup is not a lot of tipas. So tell me a closed vessel. Something that contains whatever was put in it, any vessel would do that. You want to tell me something that whatever you put in stayed there? I can tell you that another 100 ways. And the board, we went to pick the board seat. You have asked us, if you have 50 gallons, you want to keep it, you want to make sure you don't lose a single drop. Would you put it in a board? We wouldn't put it in a board. So we'd say it would evaporate. We'd say lock it up in Fort Knox, a sealed container, maybe a metal container. Mm-hmm. I'm going to look extreme, but I want to point out that these things were measured in Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's measuring scales. And he pulled out exactly what he wanted to say. And therefore, we have to be redundant in every ice cotton that there is over here and see if we can get somehow through our thick ears and stuffed hides. What is it? What is Zakkai trying to teach himself? The simple message is such a poetic way of saying you didn't forget. And Elizabeth Horkins, or Elizabeth did forget. they did forget. Well, that's what are you trying to tell us? The Rishayim tell us an inkling, a beginning, and he said that the reason why he says a bursud is that a normal vessel loses a tipa because the walls suck in a little bit. That's a fake a little bit. So then, and once so that you don't even have the normal loss that you have in there. Regular, there's a certain wear and tear loss that it's not in Mecca to Memphis, it's not considered. Not that either. Nothing. 100%. Okay, I hear something, but it still leaves us a little unsatisfied. Okay, it's going to get worse as we go along. Yeshua. Yeshua ben Charani. Listen to this one. Asher Yoladita. Nice. That's good. That's nice shot for his mother. As a matter of fact, the Rishonim bring the mice in the Gemara. Why Asher Yoladitoi? Because as a matter of fact, there was a shot for his mother. Every day that she was pregnant with him, she went around to no less than 63 Batei Midrashot. Kinyan, that's all over in her town. And knocked on all the doors and asked for Rokoshim, him, to spalalu, alubazu, she eats yechokho. This is what she did for the 270 days, 63 Batei Midrashot a day, added up, you see, it's a respectable thing. And the tefillah's helped. Look, came out of Yeshua. But this was supposed to be my new shvach, not the shvach of the mother. Right? And you want to tell me that, you know, this is a good guy. Mother, Abba, happy, you should be happy. Nachas. Yiddish Nachas. Reverend Horkness wasn't Yiddish. You couldn't say that on anybody? But it sounds so general. Anybody, any kind of, you can say how she allowed it to. We'd be very happy to have children. That would be even a mage, We'd be very ashrei. We would be zeicha to come here for them for children. So any time of chokhem, you can go turn around to the Abba and say, Yiddish nachas. Have ashrei allowed it to. This doesn't fit. Where's the Mayim Yishrochan over here? Okay, here we don't have that, the last problem. Chosid, that's a title that we're familiar with a little bit. Like Lo Yamar, it's Chosid. Which means, true, that Amor can't be a Chosid. And a Talmud Chacham can. And we would assume that they would be. The Tanoim, like Rav Ezer and Horkness, Chassidim, have the Madriga called Chosid. Again, that would seem to us as a general title that we could hand out to any of the five. It has to be something in particular that if Yosef HaKoyin, this is his Indian called Chosid. And then the same thing for the next one. It shouldn't have been the sound of Yerechet. And now we get into trouble on this one. If we go back to the old Mishnah, we had Rigbur Yerechet. But I'm always going to be a Yerechet. So Tom Chochem is required. That's part of the prerequisites. Now Yerechet, you're not Tom Chochem. So you know what? Yerechem and Zakai, you know what? You want to know who Rav Shimon ben Asahel is? He's not a Moritz. Not a Bud. He made it up to the Elder Moritz. I mean, like, what's going to happen? Yeah, he could. So Rav Shimon already asked the Kasha. This is getting a little out of hand. What are we supposed to understand from that? And for certainly, I mean, that's Vadai. That anybody that's mentioned in Tanoim or Meroyim, or has the name mentioned in the Gemara, it was going to be Yerechet. Maybe it was not Yerechet, it doesn't get mentioned in the Gemara, so you're not in Mishnah. So, it still leaves us. We're having a very difficult time getting the message. Yerechem Zach is trying to tell us something. So we're not getting the message very good. But the Rishis Chokhmah Pliya, I mean, the part of Shaila's Chokhmah Kati Tshuva. If you read it over and say, oh, yeah, Rav Yosi HaKoyin, of course it. Then for sure you're never going to get the message. First you'll sit back and say, this is impossible. This is totally not Shaila. Something's wrong. I totally don't understand. I don't even have the inkling of where he started learning such a thing. I went through the Rishonim, I still don't understand the word. Then you have a chance. The fact that we're not understanding is good. You can read this over. Chosid, Yerechet, it's nice. Sounds nice.
Sounds very nice.
Ashrei Yevalot, yeah. It's nice. Okay. Elazar ben Aroch, Kemayin HaMizgav. This, in the Mishnah, we'll see in a minute. Somehow relates back first and the fifth to Reloza and Rav Eliezer have a comparison. There are in Torah many places the comparison between a brewer and a mayim. These are two sources of water. Some people have breweries where they have their water stored in, and a brewer, or it's going to be a good one, is the one that whatever was there when you started stays there until somebody is supposed to take it out, fix it out. A mayan has the opposite mila. it's never the same. Whatever was there a minute ago is different now. That's gone. That went somewhere. Now there's new one. There's new water. And mine is a totally refreshing total. So these two somehow relate, but we have the same problems that we had throughout. That was the particular idea over here. Again, the Rishonim already explained that these two correspond to the idea that it's mentioned many places in Chazal with different people, that there's an idea of Sinai in the there's an Inay Yediyah and there's an Inay of Charifus, knowledge of Torah, and knowledge of the people of Torah, the capability of understanding the depths of Torah. And these are those two concepts. The Bor Sid is the Sinai who retains Torah the same way it was given in Sinai. He has it all down. And the Mayna Meskara is one of the Mechadish, who brings out the new Torah Shepopet. It's an old Machlokes. It's a Machlokes. I mean, this is the earliest place where it's discussed. But
just went on now.
It doesn't make any sense because, first of all, even if we knew what each factor was, then we'd have to find a common factor to weigh it. We couldn't weigh an orange and an apple and a watermelon against a cantaloupe anyway, right? It doesn't make any sense. All things ridiculous. So we don't know if there's a common factor, we don't know what it is. We don't know what the basic thing he's talking about is, or why it should be on the scale. That's good.
I see that I convinced you.
Convinced me, obviously.
Well, I'm trying to explain to you that I don't know what the heck is going on. I tried, I went through the machine. I tried to understand on some level. And I came to the conclusion that it's probably, it's important for us to admit our ignorance.
What?
To admit our ignorance, and to add our, not just to admit our ignorance. Part, that's the beginning of Torah. The beginning of Sugi always starts with a kasha. With not understanding. Let's be really honest, put it on there. I feel there are questions that I don't know the answer to. It's been an experience of Yeshua in the past. That somehow has to come down the answer to come. So we're waiting for the union to come down. Meanwhile, we'll do a little bit of a review of the Mishnah with the inquiries, the little bit that we were able to pull out from the Mishnah. Being that all of it, like we said before, is one structure that's going to go through the whole series. So even though there is a Seder of the Mishnah, and the Mishnah puts step one, step two, step three, step four, but only people who have a good understanding are able to get the whole beginning point right from the beginning. Sometimes you have to go around the circle. Very often in learning is that way. But to understand step one, you have to go to step two. You say, we got to step two, now I understand what step one is, because the book gets to step two. And each step that you go down the line, you have to start over again. I mean, you go to the third step and start over again. And if you make it down the cycle enough times, so then slowly you start understanding what's going on. So a very good starting point is to clarify this, and I hope that leads to a successful. We're going to stand one word. Doesn't make. You don't understand. We have nothing else that you don't understand the word. Okay. If that's clear,
what's clear? Let's start first.
That's it. So much nice. It is rushed so heavy. There's some strange things going on over here. It's gone.
I remember my head was the one star of that was the opinion of the Ace Mega.
Do you know this guy who was saying this?
When he said this? We would assume that he said it after that. It wasn't. This is the type of thing that our understanding would say that a person does at the end of the tikkun. When this five come either were in the process, I have a right sometimes later, but at the end of this process, it says that the different Talmidim spread off and went to different places. Gazim and Arach went to not such a good place, and other people went to Yavne. So we know from there, and we're talking about after the home. But the understanding of it is this process was at a, in the process of their becoming Talmidim, as long as they're Talmidim, they're in the process of growing, becoming what they are, so then you can't finalize the definitions. When the person of Rechon Zaha is giving this mahalach, you would assume that that's near the end of his life, where he's establishing each one of them on their own, and setting them up to become main branches where other people can learn from. So that would be the assumption that we're talking about at the end of his life.
So talking about bringing
them. Oh, so it says, we don't know, see that's the thing, it says that after they finish each other process, so further from the human to happen. And the Rosman are also in vegetation. So it's sad, but shut up. But, the word in Yavne. Yavne and Zaka is the Talmud of the line. And after the Chorban, he asked for Yavne and Chachamel, meaning that there were other Chachamel in Yavne at the time when he was asking for. But he and his Talmud were not in Yavne. When they left for Yavne and Zaka, they went to join Chachamel that were in Yavne. So we don't know exactly what that kind of was, but it was certainly during this group of post-Berlin, neatly post-Berlin, later to Kukla. The mission accomplished. I think we've gotten a start. We have the picture of what we're up against. In this first mission, we have understanding. And now we're in struggle. We'll struggle to find our way to see a little bit, maybe we can put the puzzle together, get a little inkling. So the first thing that we have from the Rabbeinu unit, we already mentioned, we brought this already, that on the Bor Sitch and on the Tipur, so he says, Shochach Ma'un Dover Mekor Ma'ashel Omar. So we mentioned that already, we took it from here. We're just another, let's go back and think it through again. What is that telling us? So Ratai, truth, that is telling us we didn't forget anything. Very good, very good. It says two things on a present. One is Shema Odom Lo Omer Dover Shlei Shama Me'apit. He never said something that he didn't hear from Israel. And that's similar to this idea that we have here. That's Tam, he didn't forget Torah. Forgetting Torah is a lot. I'm sure not to turn and forget Torah. But that he retained Torah the way he received it. And he played the role only of a Gur. A Bor Sid, he didn't lose a drop. The way he received is the way he retained it, and the person who's going to come drink from his well is going to drink from Yerchan and Zaka as well. Because the water that Yerchan and Zaka put in there didn't change. They didn't take on a little flavoring or a little. In wine processing, they do this with that. They put wine into special wood barrels because it could give something, it adds something to the tam. Okay. It also says in the last book, "Sha'omer dover shelo shama oizim ne'oyvam." That's a problem. That doesn't seem to stick to the Torah. If you never said "Eloi omer dover shelo shama ne'oy," to add this to the list of your problems. But the idea that we have, and we'll just talk about the main thing is what you'll see saying, that the idea is not just on retention of facts. It's talking about a quality. And that's the same idea referred to in Sinai. A stammer person remembers Torah, it's not called Sinai. A person is called Sinai means that if you heard from him, it's like you're hearing it from Sinai. Because it's unadulterated, it's exactly the original. Didn't lose anything in translation. There was no translation. It didn't lose anything, you know, in telephone. And it goes back to living. This is a person who heard it from how many verses away from his from Sinai, and he still hears Sinai. This is given, this idea is given, and that's, it says it by a few people, and we'll just say it here. From the Lazar, Haki Omer Dovah Shalasham Oiz Mo'ilam. Velo Omer Dovah Shalasham Merabo. So there are different Mahalaki. The main Mahalaki is that, like it says also by a Talmud who hears with the quality of Sinai, he hears Dvar Hashem. The Rambam says many places, Omer Hashem Yisboach. When he learns Torah, he brings the Pasuk, Omer Hashem Yisboach. When we read a Pasuk, we say, oh, it says it in Pasuk in Yikra, and maybe one day we remind ourselves that this is the Rebbein Yishon talking. But when the Rambam learned the Pasuk, he saw the Rebbein Yishon standing on Sinai, saying, Moshe ben Maimon. Loi Sigzo. When you hear Loi Sigzo from Sinai, addressed to you personally, you hear it Sinai. That's called Sinai. You heard it the way it was given. When you heard it, Klai Shini, Shlishi, Yavi, Hamishi, Shmini, first one, you have to, you don't forget it. That's not Sinai. It's not a simple matter of remembering, not remembering. It's the quality of it. It was total retention, quality, not only quantity. Retention of quantity, everybody's included. You got a lot of people to tell you. It's a mission later. But Bor Sid, the Tfanas, this is a stammer container, like we said before, that doesn't, it contains its, a Bor Tfanas is the best example for that. The example of something that retains what was put in remains and doesn't give of itself is a Bor Sid. The Chiddush of a Bor Sid is that it can give over not only what the Rebbe put in, but he can put in what the Rebbe received from his Rebbe going all the way back to Sinai. Even back to the Rebbeinu of Alain, and therefore, I heard it from my Rebbe. But what I heard was, I heard the call of Hashem on Sinai. I retained today Sinai. And therefore, he can say things that nobody in the whole chain that he's repeating from. Yoshomo isn't Boilam. So how do you know? My Rebbe told me, but he didn't know it, right? But I heard it. Because when he spoke, I heard the Rebbe from his voice on Sinai. Now we hear something. We'll stop. We hear a little bit. Alright, we'll stop here. Next week we'll continue to struggle to understand what's going on.